Hello, Dr. Morgan here. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. Good morning. If you'd like to join me on the radio, let's just say, for example, that your body is communicating to you. Something's not working right. How does the body communicate? It's called symptoms. So if you have pain that is annoying that won't go away, I mean, what can we learn from that? What if you had a fever? What if you have a cough? A woman told me that her young son, he had had no vaccines, no drugs, no antibiotics, but he's got this persistent cough. Well, what do you do with that? What if you try the normal remedies that any mother or parent would do and it doesn't resolve? Well, there may be something that's kind of hidden or something that's overlooked. I think everybody that knows me knows that I'm a fairly biased person. When I say biased, all I mean is I'm against things that poison the human body. I'm for the things that are natural that tend to lend to healing. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Oh, wow. Got right in.
That's right. Got you right in. How can I help you?
My daughter has been having these kidney stones, like a bunch of them. And she wants to know how can she, you know, the doctor just, you know, now he's doing another surgery and they're going to put a stent in. And, you know, they did one kidney and it didn't really help and put another one in a couple of weeks.
That has got to be maddening.
Yeah.
Poor thing. She is suffering big time, isn't she?
She's what?
She's suffering big time.
Big. Yeah, it's just constant.
How old is your daughter?
52.
Okay, does she have a habit of taking good care of herself?
No.
Okay. Well, then I'll give you the simple, short and sweet version of it, okay?
We go.
Probably 95% of all kidney stones are made of a substance called oxalate. Sometimes it's called oxalic acid, or it's called calcium oxalate. So when they remove a kidney stone and they take it to the laboratory and they say, what is this stuff made out of? Usually the pathologist will send it back and say, well, we tested it. It's calcium oxalate.
They said it was protein.
No, it's not protein. Sorry, I'm not trying to be difficult. It's not protein. Protein doesn't form kidney stones.
I'm just trying to be difficult. But
I can tell you what protein forms. Muscle.
Muscle. There you go.
Oh, I'm not trying to make a joke here, but as far as I know, I have never read one time that protein was capable of causing a stone formation, but if you have minerals, those are your rocks. So it's, you know, if you had a, let's just say you laid a T-bone steak on a rock, it doesn't turn to stone. It just doesn't do that. Now, you might eat it, but it's not going to turn to a rock. But, okay, so let's just cover the basic topic. If you asked me the question, you said, okay, what does the research show that tends to lend itself toward helping stones form in the body? Well, one of those things would be if you have a high acid diet. And I'm just going to give you one example. There's a type of acid called phosphoric acid. You're going to find it in a soft drink.
She used to drink a lot, you know, Dr. Pepper, you know, and she quit that. And she said, I think this might have something. I said, yeah. It might have something to do with it.
She's on the right track. I'm really proud of her. But if you ask me a question where calcium oxalate comes from, you're going to find the highest concentration probably in the three following foods. Spinach, white potatoes, and nuts. So like if a person says, I just love snacking on nuts and they have kidney stones, I would say, you might want to lay off the nuts. Or if somebody says, I can't make it without my spinach souffle, well, you might want to lay off the spinach. And so you're just trying to make it easy for her body to heal. Now, the story's going to get a little bit weird, but just hear me out. There's a type of bacteria that normally occurs inside of the human body, or the, if you want to call it the microbiome or the gut flora, it's supposed to be there. But the bacteria's name is called Oxalobacter. And I know it sounds weird, but have you ever seen that kid's movie called The Neverending Story?
Yeah.
Well, if you've had kids, you probably get to watch all those things. But It's actually kind of a cool movie. But in the never-ending story, there's this, I'll just call him a creature that's like a giant, but he likes to eat rocks. He's a rock monster,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, this bacteria called Oxalobacter, it loves to eat this calcified calcium oxalate rock. I have no idea how it does it. But the point is, when someone's born, they have the very bacteria in their body that helps prevent kidney stones. Now, the reason I'm saying that, guess what kills the Oxalobacter when you take antibiotics?
Yes, and they're loading her with antibiotics.
Exactly. And so some of the most distressing cases that I ever see that walk in my door are people that rely heavily on antibiotics. And I think to myself, they don't even know what they're doing. They're just getting into a deeper and deeper and deeper hole. But anyway, so if somebody's had antibiotics, they kill the very bacteria that eats the calcium rocks that we ingest in the form of spinach, french fries, or baked potatoes, or potato chips, and nuts of any kind. So if somebody said, hey, I love peanut butter, it's my favorite thing, well, it's got oxalates in it. I think almond is the highest on the list. So if somebody says, I've just got to eat my almonds, well, if they have kidney stones, that might be a problem. And so here's what you do. There's a vitamin called vitamin K2. And so if your daughter started... I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I'm taking a lot of notes here, so...
There you go.
Yeah.
That means
yeah.
you're trying to help your daughter. So vitamin K2, one thing that it does do is it helps the body prevent calcium from building up inside of either the arteries, the joints, or the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
And so if she took a little bit of K2, that might be somewhat of an insurance policy just to help her get to a good place. The next thing is magnesium. I mean, I've looked at so many studies. I haven't seen one yet where the study says Americans do not need to worry about taking magnesium because their magnesium levels are perfect. That doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And so magnesium is one of the greatest mineral deficiencies, but where there's a lack of magnesium, you tend to build up calcifications in the body. So if she starts supplementing with magnesium, that would probably be like a great, great benefit to her. And so the next thing that she could do if she wanted to is she could just start trying to build or rebuild her gut microbiome. And that could be everything from taking over-the-counter probiotics. These are just the good beneficial bacteria that help recolonize the body and help clear out toxic waste and debris. Or she could start eating fermented foods. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, probiotics. You know, there's the refrigerated, the non-refrigerated. I thought they had to be refrigerated, but no.
No, there's some that don't. Like, probably one of the best ones I've ever used is called lactic acid yeast. It's a type of probiotic fungus, but it does such a good job of clearing out all the toxic germs. Just like, I think the Mayo Clinic just published a study not that long ago showing they have finally discovered why a woman has a urinary tract infection over and over and over and over. So in their landmark study, they say if a woman had like a urinary tract infection in January, the doctor prescribes antibiotics, she gets over it, but bam, 3 months later, she's got another one. And what they said was in this study is the antibiotics, all they do is they kill the bacteria that's in the urinary tract causing the infection, but they don't kill the bacteria where it's coming from. It's coming from deep in the gut. So the one in the gut, what it does is, the moment the antibiotics come into the human body, they form this super, super slimy, gunky, snotty cave to live in. It's called a biofilm. Mm-hmm. And so they burrow down as a colony into this slimy coating called a biofilm, and that way they wait till the antibiotics are gone, and they come out from hiding, and they start their toxic ways again. So that, I know that doesn't sound good.
But what
you're doing is, when you're trying to help change the human body, what you want to do is, if you could eat some raw sauerkraut, or you could eat some raw pickles. Some people do really well with kefir, or kefir water, or kefir grains. Some people do really well with raw fermented vegetables, whether it's, you know, okra or olives or whatever it is, but it's just fermented foods. And what you're doing is you're trying to recondition, repopulate, heal the lining of your gut. Or you could take probiotics, even the ones that are refrigerated or the ones that are non-refrigerated. What you're doing is you're helping yourself. The other part of the equation is this. You got to start scrubbing out all the toxic germs that have accumulated over a lifetime. And if she's lived on the earth or walked the earth for 5 decades, she's had an opportunity to pick up some germs here and there.
Yeah.
And so that's where things like consuming garlic can be a huge payoff. And actually, garlic, it's been shown in studies to be a good drainage remedy for the kidneys. So if a person had a UTI, it was moving upward through the ureter from the bladder to the ureter to the kidney, that's bad. But what you might want to use is garlic to help flush all that stuff out. You know what I can see in my mind right now?
Heaven only knows.
Well, I'll tell you. If you had the juice of 2 or 3 lemons, and you had a glass, and you filled the glass with about 3/4 or 2/3 with just cranberry juice, I wouldn't even mind if somebody threw it in the blender with some ice cubes just to kind of give it like a cool refreshing. If you did that, maybe cranberry, lemon juice, and watermelon, you talk about one of the best tonics for your kidneys of all time. I'm just thinking of the color in my mind. I kind of see in color sometimes. But if she were to drink that every day for a week, that would be one unique cleansing activity of her kidneys and her bladder. But the herb that she needs right now, it's called gravel root. So if she's had kidney stones, if she would start looking into taking gravel root on some regular basis, what that would do is it would probably remove the stones before they even form. Now, if she goes to the bathroom to urinate, she might look in the toilet with a flashlight and say, "What are these little flakes of sand and gravel doing in the toilet?" Well, that's because the gravel root's breaking up those crystals and those stones, and they're passing quietly and silently, which is really what you want.
Yes.
I mean, it's what I'd want.
Yes. Oh, man, yeah.
I had a man the other day come to see me, and he was showing me his x-ray of his kidney, and I think there were like 8 stones in one kidney. I don't remember whether it was the left or the right, and there were like 3 in the other. And I told him, I said, "All right, here's what you're looking at here. You do whatever you want, but if it were me, I'd probably take some gravel root." Well, he took some gravel root, and the very next day, I think he passed 7 stones, which I thought, that is way, way, way too fast. And you know what? The truth of it is, I can't always predict what the body's going to do with gravel root. But when you give the body gravel root, gravel starts coming out of the body.
Good.
Does that make sense?
This is great. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if we could just start the process of trying to kind of alkalize her body, and one of the things the kidneys really, really like is they like baking soda. So if she could take maybe just 1/2 teaspoon of just regular plain Jane Arm & Hammer baking soda, stir it into a little bit of water every single day, that's going to help her kidneys. I mean, if you look at the medical studies, it shows that people that are in kidney failure, if they take baking soda a little bit every single day, it prevents this further decline. Now, I know this is horrible for me to say, but that's going to make a lot of people very, very sad and very, very upset that their kidneys don't get worse. I'm serious. The dialysis center doesn't like that.
Yeah.
No, I'm sort of joking, but you know, there's truth to it. You know, if doctors get paid $3,000 to $5,000 for a referral fee to send a patient to dialysis, what does that tell you?
This makes me crazy. Yeah.
Well, what I want is I want your kidneys to be awesome. And so, like I told you a while ago, if she took some cranberry with some lemon juice is absolutely one of the best solvents on the planet. So gentle too. Now, you probably could use lime juice also, and I just have so much more experience with lemon than lime. So if you're from Great Britain, if you call yourself a limey, I'm not going to get upset about that. It's just fine.
I don't know if you can tell, but no.
No, I know. I'm just joking. And so if she starts doing these things with consistency, and that's just the key, you got to be consistent. I think I've told the story a whole bunch, but my clinic supervisor, Robert Fivecoat, that's what he would say to me. He'd pull me aside and say, "Hey, Roy, the three universal healers are time, patience, and consistency." And after about the 4 millionth time, I think I started to catch on to what he was saying. So if she would start these things right here, obviously she needs to hydrate really well. I really think there's a place here for either cucumbers or watermelon, but if she started eating watermelon every day, that would be fabulous for cleansing the body. Even watermelon seeds are so good for the body.
Okay.
She might be going to the bathroom a lot, but how's that affect me? I'm not the one going to the bathroom a lot.
Why does it bother me?
I know. After the fact, she'd say, "Mom, do you know how many times I went to the bathroom last night?" You'd say, "Sweetheart, you're cleansing your kidneys, baby."
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah, and that's going to be really good, and you got to understand it that way. So it's like this right here. You either clean the filters out now, or they break down and you're on dialysis later. I do not want one person to have to go to dialysis.
No, that's not good.
And the next thing, we haven't really covered this topic yet, but any time that there's kidney stones, there's almost always very, very poor blood flow and circulation to the kidneys. So I don't know if she has a mindset that she likes going for a 45-minute walk every day, but that would
sure.
No, but
she has a dog and she needs to.
Yeah. Did you say she has a dog?
Yes, a big dog. Needs walking.
The dog could probably take her for a walk.
Yes, yes.
I think that's a good idea.
I think it's a great idea.
Well, the thing of it is, you've got to get more blood flow, more nutrition, more oxygen, more transportation of waste away from the kidneys, and you do that by getting more blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
It just needs more passes of more blood, more blood, more blood.
Moving things through there, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That is very well said. Moving things through there. Yeah. Because if you don't move things through there, it's going to be like a cave. The slow drip makes stalactites and stalagmites form.
And there they are, yeah.
Yeah, and that's it. I know, that's just my analogy, but you get the gist of it. When things don't flow, that's when you get all this calcification stuff build up.
That's right.
You know what I just read before I came on the radio? And it was just looking at people that were athletic when they were younger. And when I say athletic, you know, they just have fun and they play.
Yeah.
Kind of like, who was it that told me the other day? Oh, yeah, that's right, Judy. She was telling me about this performer that loved to play soccer every single day, and he's 77 years old. You've probably never heard of him. His name is Rod Stewart.
Oh, good grief.
But the thing of it is, she was saying he was running up and down the stage at the concert, and he was so active, and he was high energy. Well, I thought to myself, well, there you go. He's figured it out. You got to keep moving. That's it.
You got to keep moving.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're athletic, when you're young, what they were looking at in this one particular study, they said if you attempted to start the process of exercise again later in life, even though you've been sedentary for a while, it says your body remembers that. And so what they're doing is they're measuring the muscles start to grow more mitochondria. And mitochondria is where all the energy production takes place.
Yeah.
So feeding and nourishing your mitochondria, you got to have energy to get well. Obviously, her dog has energy. Now we need her to have energy.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we can pass that along. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Have a good day, ma'am. I appreciate the phone call. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. This is a good day for a phone call. So if you have a question about your health, I would be glad to take a shot at it or have a go at it. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. You know, I know we're living in a world where everybody gets everything in the form of a pre-made beverage. Somebody was telling me, no, I know who it is. They were telling me that one of the coffee shops here in Jacksonville, they don't even brew their coffee. Everything comes from a dehydrated powder, and they just put it in the microwave. And I thought to myself, that there's something wrong with that. So even if coffee had a good quality to it, like had antioxidants, I just wonder how many of them you lose by that process of processing it. Good morning.
That's 90.3 FM.
Oh, I waited too long. I'm sorry. If you will call back, the number here at the station is 903-586-5257. 5-7. Now we can go to the phone lines. Thanks. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I hope you're doing well.
And thanks for asking.
Good. I recently had a blood test that showed a high PSA level, and I have been taking finasteride for years for swollen prostate. I'm just wondering what you would do as far as food supplements or anything else if you had a situation like that.
Okay, well, your whole key is you've got to get more oxygen in your immune system to the prostate, so you got to radically increase blood flow. And so some of the ways of doing that is if you went for a 45-minute walk every single day, that would probably accomplish it. And I'm just drawing from a study that I read from Canada years ago where they had men walk 42 minutes a day, 6 days a week, and their PSAs were lowered after, you know, a period of time. So the whole concept is you're just trying to get more oxygen, more blood, more immune cells so they can go after whatever's in the prostate, whether it's inflammation or if you have a low-grade infection, which I find it hard to believe that you don't have like a low-grade infection if you've taken a finasteride. So that would be one thing that you would do. Another study has demonstrated very, very clearly that if you reduce the intake of carbohydrates, maybe what I should say is if you were eating the typical American diet, what if you had one green salad a day? That would start the process of helping to alkalize the urinary tract. I don't know that I can separate the kidneys from the ureters, from the prostate to the bladder, because your urine has to travel through the prostate to get to the bladder. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This next one, I know this is a very family-friendly program, so if I use code talk, just play along with me, and I hope you get where I'm saying, but when men are intimate, they reach a point where the prostate contracts very, very, I don't want to say violently, it just contracts very, very quickly, and that releases prostatic fluid. Well, the long-term studies show that when men never have their prostate contract, they have literally the highest level of prostate cancer and the highest level of PSA. And so I'm just going to float an idea your direction. What would happen to you if all the fluid around your brain just didn't flow and didn't move and didn't wash your brain cells and it just became stagnant? Well, you'd probably tell me you have a killer headache and you're looking for some relief, because everything in this world is about flow. You and I would gladly drink water that was melting from a snow-capped mountain peak because the water was moving fast and it was clear as it was melting. But I'm not going to drink water from a muddy puddle that looks like 25 ducks and beavers have been rolling around in the mud, because that stuff is dirty and toxic. So you've got to get the flow, so just use your imagination. Men that never have their prostates contract, they have the highest levels of PSA and prostate cancer. Men that have their prostate contract probably 2 to 3 times a week, they absolutely have the lowest levels. So every time the prostate contracts, what you're doing is you're getting some of that stagnant fluid to become ejected. It just is kind of a self-cleaning mechanism. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does.
Okay, point number next. You have what's called your parasympathetic nervous system. So I'm just going to say that one of the main parts of your external male urinary tract is just the male genitalia, but it doesn't do anything all day long. It just kind of hangs there and does nothing. So it's more prone to stagnant blood and oxygen. So if you wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, it would be normal for a man to have what's called an erection. But that's God's mechanism for flushing out any old stagnant blood flow, and it just cleans it out. It's not because you're having any type of weird dream or anything like that. It's just a normal cleansing mechanism. And so you try to make sure that circulation is really, really good. And so all these medications that are used, like Cialis and Viagra, and there's other ones, all they do is they increase blood flow to that area so it can work properly. But I think I mentioned 2 weeks ago that the herb ginkgo biloba was very, very good at, quote, fixing or curing erectile dysfunction. So one of the keys for the prostate is you got to get a lot more blood flow and circulation. Now, if it were me, there's a couple of herbs I think it would be very, very wise for you to take a look in, too. One is called stinging nettle. it gets a bad rap because when people see it, they go, why would I want to touch that? Anything that stings me. I think when you look at what's in the stinger of a honeybee and what's in the sting of like a fire ant, they contain formic acid. Well, guess what they have on a bull nettle? It's got formic acid in those little needles. But a lot of people take, and when they pick them and they pull the roots up, they just wash them off and they steam them for a few minutes. And when you steam them, that inactivates all the stingers. But if you wanted to, you could just go to the health food store and you could look up what's called stinging nettle. And you can start taking those capsules every day. That has been shown to greatly improve the health of the prostate. Does that sound reasonable?
Yes, it sounds wonderful.
Okay, so we've got ginkgo biloba. We got stinging nettle. There's an herb called African pygium. You could take that. There's saw palmetto, which saw palmetto is awesome. And, you know, every human being is different, so you may find one combination works better than the other. And then have you ever heard of a supplement called beta-cytosterol?
No, I don't think I have.
That is worth a try. I'm not going to tell you that it works perfectly in everybody, but when some people take that, it tends to target the healing and the repair of the prostate.
It's called beta what sterol? I'm sorry?
Beta-cyto, that's S-I-T-O, and then the word sterol, S-T-E-R-O-L, I think. Hope I didn't spell that wrong. Beta-cytosterol.
Okay, great. Okay.
And then as far as, you know, things that you're eating, I'm always hard-pressed not to recommend that somebody eat fish a couple times a week. I know that not everybody likes fish, but if you said, I can eat salmon, I can eat flounder, I can eat halibut, you know, something like that. But what's the other one I like? I like haddock a lot. Have you ever had haddock before?
I think so.
Well, what'd you think? Or was it too long ago?
Oh, it was probably too long ago, but most fish kind of taste the same to me except salmon.
Okay, so those are some of the simple things you're looking at. From the mineral kingdom, I think it's just really, really smart to look at ones called selenium, magnesium, and zinc. Which, if you look at the one, now this research I'm referring to in my brain, it comes from 1999, so you're thinking, don't you have an update, Dr. Morgan? I'm going, no, I don't. That's the only one I've come across. But what they did was they looked at the island of Okinawa, Japan, and they were just looking at the medical or health stats. And back in 1999, Okinawa, they absolutely had the lowest occurrence of both breast cancer in women. But you know, you already know how this works. If whatever a woman has in breast cancer, a man's going to have in prostate cancer. Does that sort of make sense?
Yes.
Okay, so Okinawa, Japan, during the day, they had absolutely the lowest occurrence of breast cancer of any place in the world, and they also had the lowest prostate cancer. But the one thing that they had that the researchers thought was very unusual is their intake of iodine. But when you're eating food that comes from the ocean, guess what you're going to get? You're going to get iodine, because that's where the rich reservoir of iodine is found. It's found in the ocean. And so when they averaged about 12 milligrams a day, there was a very, very significant improvement in the health of the prostate tissue. So you may want to just kind of tuck that into the back of your brain and go, what about iodine? I wonder if I need iodine. One of the simplest screening tests of all time is just to take a 2% iodine tincture. It's just the kind that you keep in your medicine cabinet in case somebody gets a scrape or a cut, or they get, the skin's broken bad and you don't want it to get infected. Some people call it monkey blood. I always call it mercurochrome monkey blood. But this stuff is iodine, so it has like a dark yellowish orange brown color to it. They add dye to it. But if you've ever seen that iodine, you just paint some on your skin. Like if you wanted to, if you're real artistic, make a circle, make a triangle, make a square on your skin, and leave it there and see how long it takes for your body to reabsorb it. And as a general rule, if you have plenty of iodine already and your body's needs are met, it's going to stay there for 24 hours or longer. But if your body's starving for iodine, oh my goodness, that iodine that you just paint on your skin, it's going to start to disappear pretty quick. And so if you put some on exactly at 7:30 this morning, which is almost, well, yeah, it's 7:30 right now. Ha ha. I'm in time with a clock. But if you paint some on at 7:30 and by 12:30 the stuff is gone, That means your body is just desperate for iodine. It's drinking it up. You got to have it. I remember now, the old... I'm sorry, go ahead.
Now, for the selenium, magnesium, and zinc, how do you know what the effective dose per day would be compared with what it says on the directions of the bottle?
Well, I think we're going to go back to the... I think you're going to have to go back to the directions on the bottle. So if you purchase, for example, selenium, and it says it's 200 micrograms, I think you go with that. Now, there's some people that are a little bit more adventurous, and they go, okay, well, I have read that it takes a little bit more selenium when it comes to a high PSA, and I'd say, okay. So if you determine that you want to take somewhere between 400 to maybe 800 micrograms of selenium for a short season, it wouldn't be a bad test. I don't think this is going to be toxic for short term, and you surely won't have a problem that I know of, and you could always do a follow-up blood test. So, for example, if your doctor does like a CBC with a differential, that's just like a simple measurement of your blood and all the different red blood cells and their components, you know, like hemoglobin, iron, stuff like that. But they also measure your white blood cells. And so if you took selenium for, say, a month or two, and then you came back and you did a replete follow-up test and all your blood values show that they've improved, I mean, wouldn't that kind of give you a clue that you're heading in the right direction and what you're doing is making a substantial difference to improve you?
Mm-hmm, sir.
The magnesium, that's a tricky one right there, because depending on the form, I don't really see a downside to taking too much magnesium, because if you get too much, you'll just go to the bathroom a little bit more. And you know what? The way that I look at it, how does that affect me if you have to go to the bathroom 10 more times today than what I do? Doesn't bother me at all. I'm really just trying to make a joke, sorry. But magnesium, I think if you follow the manufacturer's recommendation, zinc is probably out of all of them the one that you probably have to be a bit careful of. But if you consume somewhere around 30, 40 milligrams a day, I think that's going to be safe and good for you. And you could take those for like a longer time frame. So just follow the manufacturer's recommendations. And if you read some research that 600 micrograms of selenium works a lot better for a high PSA than 200, then you can go with that if you want to. It's your call.
Uh-huh. I have also read that tomato, pumpkin seeds, and garlic are good for the prostate.
You ain't kidding. Way to go. In your case, you probably shouldn't steam the stinging nettle. You should just put it directly in a sandwich and take a bite of it. I'm joking. Don't do that. That would sting your mouth badly. Yeah, tomatoes, that's an excellent... Yeah, exactly. So if you started eating a small handful of pumpkin seeds, yeah, that's been shown to be very beneficial to the prostate. If you put tomatoes on everything, that would be a good deal also. I think you got a good call there.
Or drink tomato juice, lots of it.
Well, you could drink some of it. I have to be careful when I say lots of it, because that's just my way of being positive, saying it's good for you. I don't intend on you drinking 13 gallons of tomato juice a day. You know what? I don't have the article right in front of me, but depending on which part of the world that you live in, they either believe in not using spices on their food, or they use so many spices that if we ate their food, we would go, oh my word, this stuff is so hot. But the studies do show very, very positively that when you have spicy food, the risk of developing cancer in your lifetime goes way down. So I love the idea of spicy food. So anytime that you can include horseradish or peppers of any kind, or what's another spicy food?
Yeah, Tabasco sauce.
Exactly. I tell you what, I know this is going to sound weird, but that's my remedy right there. If I had to drive, and this happened to me one time, if I had to drive a long distance and I said, oh my goodness, I'm starting to feel bad, like I have the flu or something, the immediate thing that I do is I go into the store and I buy a small bottle of Tabasco sauce and I drink it down. It's brutal. It just is. There's no way around it. You know what? I look horrible when I do that because my eyes water. I'm kind of pounding my chest. I'm going, take it, Roy. Take it like a man. But when you do that, your body releases a huge amount of enzymes called lysozyme, and that has been shown to tremendously help kill influenza virus. And that comes from the British Medical Journal. They did a study on people that all they told them was, the moment you feel like you're going to get sick and you're coming down with a flu or a cold, go eat some spicy Indian curry food or Like in my case, you'd go to a Thai food restaurant and say, make it spicy. But when your eyes water and your nose runs and you're having to clear your throat, well, what you're doing is you're using your immune system to clear out all the virus. And it works. It's not for the faint of heart, though. Actually, I don't recommend anybody try Tabasco sauce. There may be a lawsuit against me over that one. Yeah, but these are good things.
If you could somehow find a way to disguise it, then, you know.
Well, how? You mean give it to a person while they're sleeping? Is that what you're saying?
Like if you could somehow put it in capsules or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's what you. Well, that doesn't have the same effect, unfortunately. But the effect is when it hits the mouth.
Oh, okay.
And so I know. I make everything too complicated. But when you put it into the mouth and the body senses it's like super spicy, that's what makes your eyes water. Now, if you put it in a capsule, you bypass that mechanism and you don't get the same effect.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about like the emergency use of it. So, if you had to take a long trip today and about 4 o'clock this afternoon, you said to yourself, I'm coming down with the flu. I do not like this. This is horrible. I hear these stories all the time. But if you stopped and went into the store and you said, could you show me your aisle where the Tabasco sauce is, please? But you could just get the smallest bottle they have. And I'm telling you, there's a teeny tiny hole in there. But you just have to suck that stuff down. Yeah, you'll be miserable for 5 minutes. I still remember. There's a grocery store here in town, an Hispanic grocery store, and these men at the table dared me to eat one of those green peppers like they were eating. So I ate the whole thing, and they told me part of the deal was I couldn't drink water. I've never seen grown men laugh so hard in their life watching me eat that green pepper. It was horrible. I'm not used to it like they are. Anyway, it was only pain for 10 minutes, though. Anyway, so these are strategies, but you've got to think in terms of what can I do to radically improve the oxygen and blood flow and nutrient delivery to the prostate. And you got to clean it out. You just have to. That's just the way it is. Do you feel like you can use your imagination and understand what I mean by cleaning it out?
Yes, when okay. You were talking about the intimacy part.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're on the same page then.
Great.
All right. I hope that helps you a lot.
It helps enormously. This is wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You have a great day, sir. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. There's time for another phone call. The number here at the station, this program is Health Essentials. You're listening to KBJS FM 90.3 on the FM dial. And the phone number is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I am good. How are you, ma'am?
Good. Good to hear from you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your phone call.
Dr. Morgan, this is Lucy. Hey,
I had no idea it was Lucy. Thanks for telling me. I thought it was Adeline.
Oh, you thought?
No, I'm joking. Go ahead, Lucy.
I have a friend that she had like a set of twins like a year and a half ago, and she started having like a discharge, like a, you know, like if she was gonna start her menopause.
Yeah, but did you first say she had twins?
Yeah, she did, but okay. It was like a year and a half ago.
Gotcha.
So those kids, but she is like an older 39 person. So
well, bless her heart.
So what can she do? Like she has been having the discharge like for almost a month now, and she feels very, very dizzy.
You know what? I'm really glad you asked me this question, because it was about maybe 8 weeks ago, maybe nine. I saw this woman that had a very significant vaginal discharge. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is not to be crude, but she was just telling me the drug that was prescribed to her to treat it just had such horrible side effects. I mean, what would you do if somebody told you, I can't take the drug, it makes me feel horrible. The side effects of the drug are worse than having the vaginal discharge. Sure. And so she was just explaining to me that her body was very, very sensitive anyway. So what I did was I got my laptop computer, and it just worked out perfectly. I typed in alternative remedies for vaginal discharge. I said, let's just take a look at this just for kicks. And she and I looked at this article that came from the country of Iran. And lo and behold, what they did was they were testing this very drug that she had the horrible side effects from, and they compare it against a natural remedy that God has created. It's called myrrh. Myrrh is spelled M-Y-R-R-H, I think. I was trying to be funny the other day, and I asked a woman, I said, do you remember what the three wise men brought baby Jesus when he was born? And she said, yes, it was gold, frankincense, and olive oil. I said, it was not olive oil, it was myrrh. Anyway, there's a plant that produces what are called myrrh resins. This article that she and I looked at on the internet, it came from like the National Institutes of Health. But it was so interesting to me because they showed and demonstrated that myrrh did a superior job compared to this drug. I do not remember the name of it. I apologize. But they showed that when these women in the study took myrrh, their vaginal discharge went away. But what myrrh does is it helps kill off toxic disease-causing germs that are living in the female reproductive area. And that may be one of the things she's dealing with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and how do you spell it, M-Y?
Yeah, it's spelled M-Y-R-R-H. And just kind of remember the story of the three wise men. They brought our Lord gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Oh, okay. Dr. Morgan, they didn't give her no medicine. They told her that it was something that was normal, that they really didn't see that her coming like that with menopause, like, you know, they didn't say any of that. They just said he was
well normal. And you know, well, that's a shame, because what they had is they had an opportunity to teach her and help her to learn about her body. So here's what I'm going to recommend right here. What we want to do is we want to radically improve the health of all her vaginal tissue and make it stronger. And one of the ways you do that is by taking vitamin A and carotenoids. Now, if you're going to give me artistic license, I'm just going to take it and run with it. But you got to have vitamin A or carotenoids or beta carotenes to help strengthen the lining of the female reproductive area. And I'm just referring to the vaginal area. And so if she started eating mangoes, if she could eat liver and onions, which I'm thinking right now, most people are going to call me after the program today and say, Dr. Morgan, that is a brilliant recommendation to eat liver and onion tacos. Thank you so much, Dr. Morgan. We love you. Well, I'm just doing my job, you know. But mangoes are so rich in the carotenoids, that'll help strengthen her tissue right there.
Okay.
Another thing that she should probably look at is called folic acid and B12, or folate and B12. Okay. Because that does help regenerate those tissues, especially following a pregnancy.
Okay.
And so the other thing is, and of course I'm just using my imagination, but most likely they did an episiotomy, or they gave her an IV with a drug or an antibiotic. So we need to really work the probiotic area. Now, I'm not telling her to do this. This is not my recommendation. So do not take one of those little bitty bulb syringes, the kind that they sell at the store to suck the snot out of a baby's nose. Do not suck up a probiotic into that and then apply it to the vaginal area. Don't do that.
Okay.
But if she does it, it's her choice. And so if she started taking more probiotics orally, and then she looks at what's called myrrh, M-H-Y-R, wait, did I spell it wrong? No, it's M-Y-R-R-H.
Yes.
Yeah, but isn't that funny how this works? The very question you asked me is a topic I just covered and I looked up the research on. That's so hilarious.
Dr. Morgan, another question. Her kids had surgery the week before she started. Could it be from stress that she's having this?
Absolutely. Stress is what weakens everything. Stress is literally what makes you most vulnerable to infection, but most likely this discharge she's having is from an infection.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you recommend if she does that myrrh and liver with onion. That's my
oh, yeah. And what did you just say?
Liver with onions and taco.
Did you just say that was your favorite? Did I hear that correctly?
Yeah, it is my favorite.
Oh, my goodness. See, now it makes sense. Now I know why you're so smart. You're getting all that B12. But see, liver has one of the highest vitamin profiles of vitamin A in it.
Oh, I see.
You know, half the time I'm joking about this stuff because everybody shoots me down the moment I mention that. They run out the door and never come back. But if she could, she needs to set her mind like Flint that she's not going to eat anything sweet, except if it comes from something like blueberries or strawberries or a mango or raspberries. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
But she's just got to avoid sugar like the plague. But yeah, the poor woman is probably so stressed.
I think that's what could have happened, because she went down with like a cold and then that happened.
Well, and that's probably all just stress wore her out. Do you know, can I ask you a personal question?
Yes, sir.
Do you know what it's like to have your mind race and you can't turn it off? It keeps processing and processing?
Yes.
Well, there's an herb called Chinese skullcap.
Okay.
For somebody that's undergoing a lot of stress, that can be a game changer. Because if it stops the mind from racing and racing and overprocessing, if you can do that, then you can go to sleep at night and you can heal. But she's like probably the best mom of all time. She's just really concerned and worried about her kids. What are the names of the children?
Well, the twins?
Yeah.
She has four. She has six. But the twins are Yamile and Yahaira.
Okay. What do those names mean?
I kind of don't know.
Okay. Well, no, I was just curious. What does the name Lucy mean?
Smart, bright, intelligent. Are you kidding?
No. Evidently, that's what it means. Super, super smart, intelligent person. That's great.
No, I never looked it up, Dr. Morgan.
Do you know what my name means? It means king. Anyway. But that's great, though. And you know what? I do appreciate so much that you care for your people that you love and you try to take good care of them.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan. Dr. Morgan, the Chinese skull cap, where can I find that one?
Well, it's an herbal remedy, so a health food store is going to be one of the options or the choices you have. And, of course, now, these days, you can get everything online. The product that I have used that works absolutely the best is called Neviton.
Do you have it at your store?
I do. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I can just swing by there.
The thing of it is, I mean, when you everything can be put to the test and you can challenge everything, right?
Yes, sir.
I always remind myself of Acts chapter 17 where it says the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. But I like how the story went. Paul and Silas are preaching in the synagogue. And they're saying, let's see what the Word of God says about this. So they go to the book of Isaiah or Jeremiah, and they go, oh, my goodness, Paul is telling the truth. But I think it's okay. I think it's okay to question everything, don't you?
Yes, it is.
But the product Neviton, it works so incredibly fast. And so let's just say a person's mind is racing out of control, and they can't sleep at night, and they're so stressed. Sometimes it works I hate to use the word miracle because I'm not trying to use the word miracle because a miracle is something the Lord does. So I'm not trying to say it's miraculous. But sometimes it works so fast you're going, this is incredible. How does this work that fast? Well, it's a natural medicine God has made.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, I would put it straight up against all the anti-anxiety medicines to see which one works the best. Guess which one doesn't have horrible side effects?
Well, yeah.
Exactly, the plants. But anyway, that's what you're looking at right there. But she probably needs to really, really work the probiotics for like a good, 8 weeks, 12 weeks to try to get her balance back. Because most likely they hooked her up to an IV and gave her some a generous dose of antibiotics.
Yes, sir.
Or did she have the baby at home with a midwife?
No. She actually had an early
yeah, so they took the kids before, week 40.
Yes. Well, no, she stayed a week in the hospital so the babies could stay in her, but they ended up coming out anyway.
So, bed rest. Gotcha.
In the hospital, so they gave her a lot of meds, that. They were
trying
to make her keep the babies for a week.
Now, is she in a good place right now where she can rest and take care of her babies?
Yes, sir. Yes.
How old are the twins right now?
A year and 6 months.
You know, I think the Spanish name for Roy is Rogelio. Do you think she would like to change the name of one of the children to Rogelio?
I doubt it, Dr. Morgan.
Oh, is it because I'm too late on that idea?
Yeah.
Okay, definitely. Never mind.
That'll be pushing it.
Well, I mean, the birth certificate, what does that mean? We can just scratch it out and write Rogelio on it. No, I'm
why do you
won't
notice?
Yeah, no, who would know that? They would come back later and say, Mom, what did you change my name for? I'm glad your kids never question you that way, do they?
They do, actually.
Hey, you know what you should do if you ever want to have some alone time? You should go for a walk in the cemetery here in Jacksonville.
I kind of do that.
Oh, you kind of do that? All right. Well, thank you so much for your phone call.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
Yes, ma'am. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
No, I already knew that. She had told me before that she wants, when she wants to have peace and quiet alone time, that she'll walk through the cemetery because there's never anybody else there. Actually, I kind of think that's like a smart play. If you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line open. This program is called Health Essentials. The number is 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. I'm calling with a question regarding my mom. She's 85, mm-hmm. and she went through an ordeal with a endocarditis. And And this was in January, and of course, their treatment is 6 weeks of IV antibiotics. And she survived it. Thank the Lord.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You ain't kidding.
And, you know, we had her on probiotics and all of that.
Oh, good call.
Yeah. But since then, it just seems like if she gets, her skin is so thin anyway because she was treated for asthma so many years, her lower extremities are just like, they get a little scratch, like her dog scratched her, and, you know, and now she went to her doctor, put her on antibiotics again. And so it's just like they just keep putting her on antibiotics, and I know that's not good. And I was thinking with soaking her feet and then getting her one of those little little pedaling things that you put on the floor.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good call.
Okay.
And I'm not going to make any jokes about this because this is just a very serious situation because she's kind of on this downward spiral of losing a lot of her collagen and protein and muscle mass. And so I can give you a million different ideas, but right now what I would say is we've got to do whatever we can to feed the mitochondria of her body. Mitochondria are where all the energy production takes place, and unfortunately that's the very thing that's destroyed by antibiotics. And so no big mystery here how she's not just quickly bouncing back after having IVs to treat endocarditis. And so let me just throw some ideas out there, and you tell me exactly what you think, okay?
Okay.
If she were my mother, I'd probably say, let me go to the store and get you some Q&A. And let's make it about 400 IUs a day, 400 milligrams or whatever IUs. I should have said milligrams. I apologize. I was thinking of a different fat-soluble vitamin. Let's start getting you on about 400 milligrams a day of the Q&A or the good form of coenzyme Q10, and just see if that starts the process of helping. Number next, I know this is going to sound weird, but just kind of hear me out. If I had my way, you would go to the butcher shop and you would ask for a calf heart.
Okay.
And then you would take some butter, kind of score it, roll it around, and then make a stew out of it and feed her that. The other food that seems to work really, really well is called sardines. I have a hard time getting people to eat sardines. And then you have liver and onions. But, hey, desperate times call for desperate measures. But that's what that's what she's got to have right now. She's got to have some strength. So I would look at an herb called Korean ginseng. Sometimes it's called red ginseng. But it's been shown to repair the mitochondria damage of the endocardium.
Okay.
And so if she could start doing that every day, I'm a big fan of a substance called Eleuthero. And I think it was 2 weeks ago I read some research on an herb called Ginkgo biloba. Mm-hmm. And part of the research was they used a radioactive isotope with the ginkgo because they wanted to find out when you swallowed it, where does it go in the body? And guess where it goes? It goes to the adrenal glands and the heart. I thought to myself, that is absolutely amazing. How does it know how to do that? But it does.
Yeah.
And then anytime you have a heart issue, man, I have got to be the world's greatest salesman today toward pomegranate. I'm not doing my job if I don't bring that up. So if your mother could start making a cup of green tea, actually, you could make all this for her and take it over there and let her drink it. So sure. She needs about 3 cups of green tea a day. And every cup of green tea, we want to take like a spoonful of pomegranate powder. And she's 85. I'm not trying to make more work for her. I mean, sure, it sounds like great fun to go outside and put the ladder on the pomegranate tree and climb to the top of it and harvest them, but that's not a good call for her.
Right.
And so if she could take a spoonful of organic pomegranate powder, that or juice or concentrate, all those are good calls. But they yeah. have the highest natural concentration of what are called polyphenols, and so these things help nourish and heal her heart and her circulation. See, and that's the whole deal right here. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but there's nobody that's going to tell her this is what you do to heal the heart. It ain't going to happen. They're just going to say, take some more antibiotics or some more drugs. But I want her to live. And so there's an herb called hawthorn. And I have looked and looked, and I haven't found it yet, but I'm convinced that hawthorn is so good to heal the mitochondria of the heart and the heart muscle.
Okay.
And so you might look at that. The one thing about ginkgo is if they have her on medical blood thinners, I'm talking about stuff like Plavix and Xarelto.
She is not.
There's another one called Warfarin. They use that to kill rats. No, I'm joking about that one.
Yeah, so, I'm a nurse. I know all those.
Yeah, and so and that's what you want right now. What we want is she's got to, the equation that we're working with is we got to get oxygen and nutrients into the mitochondria so she can generate energy.
Yeah.
And you do that by increasing blood flow. It may even be that one of the things you want to do is just put a heating pad directly over the heart. I don't care if she takes plain Jane castor oil and just rubs it all into her chest. The other thing that I'd like her to do is, does she live in the country?
She doesn't live in the city or anything.
Does she have reasonable privacy? Because she's a lady.
Yes.
Reasonable. Well, if she could go into her backyard and just kind of orient her body toward the rays of the sun and just expose the skin of the heart, expose the heart to the sunlight for about 20 minutes twice a day if she can.
Yeah, she gets outside and everything, you know, she's just weaker and everything, because before that she fell, and it's just kind of been one thing after the other for her, but I think the worst thing was this, you know, treatment.
Oh, yeah, and so to help her bounce back, let's just look at red Korean ginseng, you look at ubiquinol, magnesium is so critical for the heart. If she's willing to eat, good choice on your part. Is she willing to eat fish from the ocean?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Now we're in business.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And plus, what 85-year-old woman doesn't fantasize about a good beef stew made out of calf heart? Answer me that. The answer is all of them do.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think we're all out of time for today, but tell your mother that I'm really rooting for her, and we got to find a way to get her strength back, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Have a good day, and bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. You're listening to KBJS. This program is Health Essentials. It's on the FM dial 90.3.